Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Jaya Radha Damodara, Radha Damodara Raje. Jaya Radha Kalachandi, Radha Kalachandi Raje.
Chad Hidasa Korki, Prem Sekhosi, Krishna Chaitanya Babunitananda, see the right of your heart, Sivasadi, O Bhakta Bindiki, see Radha Krishna Gopi Gopinath, Saima Kunda Radha Kunda Girgavadaniki, Vrindavan Damki, Mathura Damki, Navareep Damki, Jamuna Mai ki, Ganga Mai ki, Talasi Devi ki, Bhakti Devi ki, Samavera Bhaktivinoda ki, all glory to the Samira Bhakti. All glory to the Samira Bhakti. All glory to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga. Can you close this door? It's a little cool here, it's a draft. Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunitananda, Sri Dvaita Grahasi Vasari Go Bhaktivindam. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Yeah, we can close the window. Look cool. I wanted to read something from the Madhya Leela, chapter 12 text. Well, it's quite a series of texts. But it's particularly about the cleansing of the Gandhicha temple. It's a very, very important story for Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Important activity, important pastime, important leela. You see, before the Jagannath Rath Yatra, some week or so before, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra are taken to the Gandhicha temple. And, of course, special arrangements are made to receive them. So, before we know it, it'll be time for us to make arrangements, you know, for our next Rath Yatra. We'll see in a few weeks, several places will begin to have their, you know, their Rath Yatras all around the world. Lord Jagannath Baladev Subhadra making their appearance to give out massive benediction. And Even in a week or so, or a week and a half, we'll be having a memorial retreat here. Even yesterday, we were thinking about certain arrangements for the festival. Just gotten a letter from, I mentioned yesterday, from one of our sannyasis who'll be coming. We sent a letter this morning to another sannyas, who usually is in Australia and New Zealand, who's in America, and invited him to come. So we, as we think of festivals, even our day-to-day services, we think about preparing things, we think about cleaning, making healthy arrangements so that devotees are satisfied and are able to engage in sadhu sangha, and so that we can all focus more on our services to Krishna, to Radha Damodar. So we see that the great acharyas, and even the Lord himself, Krishna himself, Lord Chaitanya, he helps us to see the importance of preparations, healthy preparations. And just in the most common understanding, we realize that the way something, the Shivano sweater is kind of cool. Is it a sweater for common understanding helps us to, is anyone else cold or is it just me? Is it kind of cool in here? It's a little cool. It's all the windows. So the common understanding helps us to appreciate that the way you start something or prepare something is going to have a big effect on what the outcome is going to be. And even we understand in our own our mentalities that we are so much inspired or not inspired based on arrangements, facility, etc. So we are hoping gradually we can have more facility, because we know when devotees come and there's also nicer facility, more facility, it enhances the whole experience. Sometimes people go to conventions, to gatherings, to conferences, to festivals, and even though the topics are very exciting and stimulating, sometimes the preparations weren't so wonderful, and it causes some disturbance. People do not grab the information or experience as much as they could. And the teaching is understood also about generally the importance of, you know, the of environment. So it's one of the things that's taught in education, based on certain needs that people have, and emphasizes that the physiological needs are number one, meaning that the environment, the conditions, the things that we that you teach in, it's gonna affect, you know, the process of education. And then we have reason that we have this being put more into a science that people understand now, with its feng shui, that the whole environment, the interactions of things, physical things, etc., has an effect on consciousness. We all know this, we experience it. Even health, that the lighting has a huge effect on the mind and on health. Many people who experience depression can notice it even more, the symptoms of effect that the environment has. Sometimes the susceptibility to, or the influence of germs and things also, can be influenced, you know, just by the lighting. You don't have sufficient lighting, especially sunlight. He says the physical body needs to be clean, needs to be taken care of. So also the physical body, as well as the subtle body, It needs a certain amount of stimulation in different ways. Now, it's kind of dangerous because in so many environments, people spend 80, 90% of their time indoors. It's actually unhealthy for physical and psychological well-being. You're not getting some sun. Or people are in places where, you know, there's no windows, and or some parts of the world now, the sun doesn't shine very much. It's inauspicious, actually. So the sun has a way to assist in the cleansing process. Stimulates. Lighting in general. Next best is, of course, is artificial lighting. But better is actual lighting. So when the body is not getting proper sun, then it also will influence consciousness, performance, productivity, etc. So Lord Chaitanya showing us the significance in preparation, significance in cleaning. And I'll read a few things, but then discuss. But it was just so amazing when you look at this section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Tremendous cooperation, zeal, enthusiasm, anticipation is there with the devotees. I mean, just hundreds and hundreds of devotees as they are carrying the water buckets and doing the cleaning and throwing the water up on the walls and cleaning every area. And it's very significant because they clean outside, they clean around, they clean inside. They clean outside so as to minimize any of the dust and things from outside coming in. Because even when you clean inside, it's like if we clean your house and you clean the place very nicely, but then all around is mud and dirt and other things. Then short time people are going to track that into the environment. You clean the house very nicely, but you don't clean the porch, then you're going to have also. So you clean immediate area and you clean other places. Because they all have an effect. What Chaitanya was doing like this, he was cleaning the outside, cleaning the inside, and then cleaning the inside in different, intense ways. First just the gross, and then the subtler coverings. So we'll explain in a few minutes what Bhaktisiddhanta says about this cleansing. Because it's much more than just the physical preparations. It's much more than just trying to tidy things. Much more than just teamwork. But it's all of those things and about dealing with the gross and the subtle. And especially making the proper arrangement so that Krishna, who's already seated in the heart, will feel, like a better word, more welcome, and will give himself or make himself more available to us. You see the effect that has on ourselves when you know that somebody is putting himself out or has made a nice arrangement for your reception. You automatically feel that you're in the right place. You automatically feel good about the situation. You automatically feel wanted. Take the converse, the opposite of that. That you've been invited somewhere or you come someplace. And what you have to deal with, where you to stay, where you to sleep, where you to be, clearly sends you signals that it's better if you had not have come. Or it clearly sends you signals that if you come or if you have come or not, it didn't really make a difference. You don't feel the same. Even though you're there in the same place, you don't feel the same. Doesn't have to be opulent. Doesn't have to be so fancy. But there should be some energy of care. And when you experience that energy of care, it allows you to give more, to accept more. It allows you to be more natural. And most important, hopefully it helps one to be more spiritual. So in this Gandhicha cleaning, Lord Chaitanya is showing us the importance of making the arrangements for Krishna. But we don't just think haphazardly, Krishna is going to appear, he's going to do the necessary, he's going to arrange everything that we would like or desire. But he's responding to us. As we arrange for him, then it's a distinct message, it's a distinct signal that we really want Krishna more active in our life. When you arrange for someone who's coming to see you, and you've arranged nicely, it's a distinct sign that you are honoring their existence, that they have value to you. And their coming or their association has added to the experience. So it's very important in the life of sadhus. Because in general, sadhus are always trying to see how to serve each other. They're constantly trying to see how to honor the process of bhakti yoga. And they do that through how they interact. And so you'll see, as you reflect on the biographies, pastimes of the great devotees, how much there is an emphasis in arranging for festivals, and arranging for the prasad, and arranging for the pilgrimage. Now, it's not just, obviously, a matter of just external adjustment. But it is so much a part of the ecstasy of bhakti to be able to arrange things for the enhancement of the devotees. It's ultimately for the collective glorification of Krishna. Often when there are festivals or there are times when devotees come together and work very hard and make something happen. As powerful and wonderful as a exciting festival is the dynamics of the teamwork of devotees serving together and creating order out of chaos, or creating something wonderful or something out of basic interactions and using what we have. There's a power in that. There's a power in the association where there's literally, that is yoga, that's sacrifice. And it takes some commitment and sacrifice, some austerity to follow things through. As we're doing that on behalf of Krishna, of Radha Damodar, then there's reciprocation. You know, the body may be extremely tired, but after the end of the day, and having put oneself out for the service of Vaishnava and the Lord, there is a certain fulfillment, satisfaction that comes along with such. When that is not done, there's a certain lack, there's a certain emptiness. Because where devotees do not give themselves to serve each other, then it's more of a kind of a moksha consciousness. A consciousness more focused on liberation or personal salvation rather than service. So a week before the Jagannath Rath Yatra, Lord Jagannath and his transcendental entourage is taking them to the Gandhicha temple. But before that, there is the cleaning of the temple. And so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself gets involved. And he encourages, he singles out those who are doing nicely. He singles out those who need to work on something. He brings to the attention of others certain excellence of service. So he is helping us to personalize our associations and what we do on behalf of the Lord. And we can just imagine so many hundreds of devotees who are just chanting and shouting and running and dancing as they're involved in cleaning. And as they're so excited, as they're realizing that they're cleaning for Krishna. And that as they are cleaning, that the Lord is going to appear in that particular area. That it is on behalf of the Lord. So even as we do our day-to-day services, we can also do them in that kind of consciousness that we're doing it for Krishna. We can do it in the consciousness realizing the potency that comes as we engage in the devotional activities, of how it is a way of creating the most auspicious or the most welcoming environment for Krishna to reciprocate. As Krishna is person, supreme personality of Godhead, we are reflecting on. So just as ourselves as a person, how uneasy you feel when you go to a place and you realize that you weren't welcome, or you realize you're imposing, or you feel that it didn't matter whether you came or didn't come, it has a big effect on what you do and how you participate or do not participate. In contrast to when you distinctly know that your presence is being honored and that you people are happy to see you, glad that you've come. They feel unfortunate, or they literally feel sad if they did not see you. So this is the natural personal process of devotional service. So then Lord Chaitanya started even cleaning with his own cloth. Cleaning the marble. Again, very significant. Of how he was using his own cloth to particularly to get the subtleties, the more subtler things. We can stop the sinful activity, but the seeds, the sinful desires may still be there, the seeds for sin. We can do the right thing, but have the improper consciousness. Bhagavad-gita later explains, these are all some of the things that is being addressed when the Gandhicha temple is being cleaned. Getting the gross, and then dealing with the weeds and the anathas, anatha nivritti, getting free of all the unwanted things. This is the process of bhakti. Taking closer notice to see what is unwanted, what is unhealthy, and clean it out, get rid of it. And then clean the outside so that we arrange so whatever we just discarded or put out is not so close that it's going to come back in and once again lodge in the environment. We stop the things that are unhealthy, gross and subtle, then we have to create an environment that is less and less conducive for those things to come back on us. Otherwise, we see devotees, they stop certain things. But then they fall back prey to such, because they haven't cleaned the gross, they haven't cleaned the subtle, or they haven't even cleaned the gross sufficiently so that it will not come back. We can evaluate and think about the devotional process as a constant cleansing until we have cleaned to a point that as we are calling the Lord forth, more into our lives, that it becomes distinctly obvious that we really mean it. Tell somebody, you know, you're ready to associate with them, to go somewhere. Then they come a little close and they see that you're not ready. You haven't got dressed. You haven't got the car ready. You haven't done this. You haven't done that. So it's a sign that, yes, in one sense, the notion you want to go, you're ready, but you're not really ready. Because the necessary things have not been done. So as we participate in the bhakti process, we're sending a message, we're sending a signal constantly to Krishna within the heart about our readiness. Send a constant message. How much we really want to come back to him, how much we genuinely want to be freed of the most mature nature, how much we genuinely are ready to be all for him and he all for us. And so other things are said, other things are done in the air, in the ethers. The Lord is looking distinctly at how genuine our submissions, our position is. And so he's judging by the results. So I want to just read a few of these preparations as we focus on the mood of Lord Chaitanya and his Gandhicha cleaning, and then look at the explanation that Bhakti Siddhanta gives us about what this means for us as Vaishnavas. Upon hearing the Lord's request for them to watch the Gandhicha temple, the Pandicha, that is the superintendent of the temple, said, "My dear sir, we are all at your all your servants. Whatever you desire is our duty to perform. To watch the temple, you need many water pots and brooms. Therefore, order me. I can immediately bring all these things to you." The Lord cleans, and I'm skipping them a few short verses. The next day in the morning, the Lord took his personal associates with him. And with his own hands, he smeared sandalwood pulp on their bodies. So he got the servants ready first for the work they had to do. He then gave each devotee a broom with his own hands. And taking all of them personally with him, he went to the Gandhicha temple. So we're serious about something, we get the proper facilities to do the proper work. Thus the Lord and his companions cleansed and swept all the temples, buildings big and small. And finally they cleaned the area between the temple and the meeting place. Indeed, hundreds of devotees were engaged in cleansing all around the temple, the cleaning outside. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally carrying out the operations just to instruct others. This is the nature of Acharya, nature of the Lord, his incarnation. He shows so many things by the best example. The entire beautiful body of the Lord was covered with dust and dirt. In this way became transcendently beautiful. At times when cleansing the temple, the Lord shed tears, and in some places he even cleaned with those tears. Following the example of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the devotees in great jubilation, they began to gather straws and dust with their own cloths, and they threw them outside the temple. The Lord then told the devotees, this is Lord Chaitanya speaking, "I can tell how much you have labored and how well you have cleaned the temple simply by seeing the straw and dust you have collected outside. Even though the devotees collected dirt in one pile, the dirt collected by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was much greater." The Lord then ordered everyone to clean the inside of the temple very perfectly by taking finer dust, straws, and grains of sand and throwing them outside.
Adhisi Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the Vaishnavas clean the temple for the second time. So first time, they're doing outside, they go inside, they're getting the more obvious stuff. And Lord Chaitanya is encouraging them to jump right back in, but now to do more of the more subtle work, cleaning. And he is guiding them, directing them, showing them, working with them, you know, how to make this happen. So in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first washed the main temple, and then thoroughly washed the ceiling, the walls, the floor, the sitting place, everything else in the room. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees began to throw water into the ceiling. When this water failed, they washed the floors and the walls. So they were splashing the water. And it was bouncing off the walls, cleaning the walls, cleaning the floor. While the devotees running with the water buckets, the devotees cleaning the floor, taking things out, taking the straws out, taking the dust out. So hundreds and hundreds of devotees. And while they were doing this, it says, whenever anyone had to speak, he did so by uttering the holy name of Krishna. So we were talking earlier about the importance of devotees reading more, devotees discussing more amongst themselves. They do their services, sharing what they're reading. And so by this, we are preparing more of an environment for Krishna in his many forms to be received. And so the katha becomes then so much based on what our real focus is, going back to the spiritual kingdom, preparing for that, making that more and more of a reality in our meditation and our focus. And we share this message with others. It's like you're going to go someplace very important and you're somehow telling a few other people, oh, tomorrow I am going to do this one. Tomorrow I'm going to go here. I'm preparing. I have to get, be ready to do this in a few days. And maybe you encourage them. Wouldn't you like to come? This is what is necessary to do, etc. So the devotees, they were speaking in such ways. And as they were asking for brooms, for other things, taking water in, taking water out, getting rags, taking out the dust, taking out the straws. This is all done, of course, associating with the Lord himself, but it was all done as they were uttering the holy names of Krishna. Sometimes we see like that, devotees are cleaning and doing something, they're cooking, and they're chanting, they're singing together. It's very powerful. Consequently, the holy name of Krishna became an indication for everyone who wanted something. So it became like their fax line, their line of communication, their special words to attract another person's attention, and their way of honoring each other and honoring the Lord by uttering their holy names first. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was vibrating the holy name of Krishna in ecstatic love, he himself was performing the work of hundreds of men. It appeared as though Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were cleansing and washing with 100 hands. He approached everyone just to teach them how to work. When he saw someone doing nicely, the Lord praised him. But if he saw that someone was not working to his satisfaction, he immediately chastised that person, not bearing him any grudge, any chastity. The Lord would say, "You have done well. Please teach this to others so that they may act the same way." This is a great sense of empowerment. A person learns, they teach, and they share. Then someone else learns. And then everyone begins to understand or come up to a higher standard by what is being passed down. In this way, the meeting place was washed, the entire yard, the raised sitting places, the kitchen, and of course, every room. After everything was thoroughly washed, then it goes on to another passage, another aspect of it. I'll cut short on that. So you see how this is such a tumultuous activity. All rooms were cleaned with 100 water pots. After the rooms had been cleaned, the minds of the devotees were as clean as the rooms. Sometimes you may notice the quality of service that you do, how it affects your mind. Huh? You had to rush through something, you did it very haphazardly, extemporaneously. You notice sometimes that the mind does not feel well. Whatever service it is. But the service where you were moving in a hasty fashion, but you were able to be more absorbed with the devotion and the care. And when you finish the service, you feel some upliftment, you feel a greater sense of fulfillment, you feel more clean, cleansed, because it is just that. But sometimes mind is not very peaceful, a little agitated, a little disturbed. You rush through, dressing on the deities. In a way, you really didn't have a chance to reflect, to look, just to consider so much of what you're really doing. Even though you finished on time, you won't feel quite the same. But you could have did this, you should have did this, you're not so sure this is going to hold up so good. You don't feel quite the same. What to say if you did it, you know, grudgingly? Not for the same. Whatever the service may be. But if you did the service and you were really doing it in that spirit of serving the Lord, preparing for the Lord, and offering to the Lord, then as you finish, you feel different. Because literally, the mind has been cleaned, the body, the conscience, some of the anarthas have flown away. So internally you can feel some difference. So Bodhicitta was engaging everyone in such a way that they were so intensely absorbed with his association and doing it and chanting the holy names and making arrangements for Krishna's appearance, for Jagannath's appearance, that their minds were feeling as clean as they had made the other physical environment. Hundreds of devotees brought water in pots, and hundreds took the empty pots away to fill them up again. Now I want to end briefly with looking at what Bhaktisiddhanta is offering as he explains this whole affair. There is some Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 12, text number 130. We started 135 on. So now Bodhisattva has us to focus in on what this is, what actually is taking place. Outside the gateway of the temple, all the roads were also cleansed. So keep in mind now, the temple itself, the gross, the subtle, the immediate area outside, and now we're finding even the roads that were leading to the temple were clean. This is important. One temple in India. Well, I just mentioned it. I was once hearing about or noticing. I went there once also. One of the temples that Rajneesh was in charge of. Well, many years ago, I went visit. I and in India, and I happened to go to Pune to headquarters there. A long time, maybe over 20 years ago. And many of the local people, they felt very bad about the temple and about the project. First, basically, there was probably no local people, it was all foreigners. But people were very unimpressed, even those who had not went into the grounds or heard the philosophy. But first they noticed those who are coming in and out of the temples, their mood. You see people in a mode of ignorance, in a mode of passion, like anything. In a very sensual, you know, mood. On the rickshaws, etc. But even worse, some people were passing on the temple gates or in the temple property outside, etc. They can understand. What kind of people is this? How are they being trained? What is the philosophy? The holy place and in the environment is not being viewed as sacred. And so, even though it wasn't the inside or the temple itself, but it was the facility of facilitating the temple, or the outward environment. And so you can understand so much about people also, but how they treat that is sacred. And so if they do not recognize the sacredness, you realize there's something lacking in their mentality. Like at our homes, so you have a temple room or an altar. And so in that place, things not to go on the same way they do in the rest of the house. Come into the temple room, there should be a certain awe and reverence about what is to be received, what is to be experienced. Even if our children, of course our children are small, so they naturally will be active in certain ways. But at the same time, we have to train them up in such a way they understand. Temple is not the same. To the temple, there was a focus on cleaning it nicely, arranging. Like if somebody comes into the temple and they see on the road there's so much trash, so many things. Even before they get to the temple, they've already formulated some idea about the devotees, about the situation. Or just today, early this morning, when I left after Mangalarti some time. Now you've seen the little guard house there, and how it just looked, it looks so funky. So, even though it's a small thing, but just having to go by, and coming up, going by, it has a reflection on where you're going to enter. You're coming in, you pass by there, and you have an effect. Or, you'll see. Now it's the weather's better. So as we now grow the wheat and grow so many, we were counting yesterday that in the area now we're going to have almost 20 different vegetables. So now when we extend that and we have so many nice crops, as you come onto the property and you come to the temple, you're going to feel some difference. Have greater appreciation that, some people are doing something. Some food is being grown. Something is happening more on the service, for the service of the Lord. Well, you come in constantly. You come by, you see the cows, and the cows look very sickly. Then, as you come to the temple, you also be influenced by what you're passing, what you're internalizing, what you're experiencing. It will actually have an effect. But if you see cows look healthy, then as you come in, then you naturally will bring much more, feel that the environment is more sacred. The environment will come out of you like that, and you will connect with the environment. Mother Tanya was showing us in this cleansing how all of these things were important. The most important, the subtler things that Bhaktisiddhanta explains. Because even if the gross things are done and the subtler things are not, then they surface after a while. We do some things, see, cosmetically, if we don't get to the real heart, then it will surface. We're trying to fix the plumbing, we're trying to do this, do that. If we just do something to patch up, or with the tractor, the other machines, we just kind of patch up. It may be, we do it for a little while. With the orchard, we just patch up. But then in a little while, we'll see. So many effects will be inauspicious. But if we dive deep to make a serious difference, then we see the opposite. Then we see the positive effects that manifest later. So outside of the gateway of the temple, so just like there in Pune, many people would just turn up. Many people didn't even go inside the temple just by seeing what people, the mentality of people who were going inside. because the rising society of the movement is very central, you know, to tantric. So they see, you know, young men and women, you know, embracing and acting improper, and they're going to the temple, or they see people passing on the gate, they realize, it's not such a sacred place. They have very little interest in going. They figure, well, if that's the case, then what goes on inside? Well, the other day we moved into a new institute in Washington. And so the fence, we're right next to Seventh-day Adventist Church. And we share a fence, which is actually our fence. But the fence was not in such nice shape. And so I immediately told the devotees to fix the fence. Some things in the yard, because we are new into the neighborhood, and most people, they're not coming inside, but they're going to get some immediate evaluation based on just the outside environment. And some may decide they don't want to come in based on what they see outside. And some may feel encouraged based on what is there. So sacred environments are sacred in essence, but every aspect of it is to be a offering that Krishna would be pleased. Well, we have the Prabhupada is coming. So every aspect should be in that mood of preparation. The Prabhupada is coming. Not just coming just to see the deity, but coming to see the environment, see the community, all of these things. And so we can look at each thing in that spirit. So Prabhupada is coming. Oh, wouldn't it be nice? Prabhupada is driving in, and he's driving by, and the cows look very healthy. He's driving by, and there's so much food stuff that's being grown. He's driving by, and the property is clean. He's driving by, and the devotees' homes are nice and kept. He's driving by, and the brahmacharis look enthusiastic. He's driving by, and the kids seem happy about the environment. All of that. Offering to him in that sense. And as he looks closer, he sees, oh, it's not that they just did that just because they knew I was coming, but it is the way the community is developing. So the subtle stuff is then looking a little closer to see how genuine, how much the cleansing process has really penetrated. And commenting on the cleansing of the Gandhiji temple, Bhadidananda Saraswati, the court says, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was personally giving instructions on how one should receive Lord Krishna within one's cleansed and pacified heart. If one wants to see Krishna seated in his heart, he must first cleanse the heart, as prescribed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this Shastakam. Cheto Dharpana Marjana. In this age, everyone's heart is unclean, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Hri Dayanta Stohi Abar Drani. To wash all dirty things accumulated within the heart, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised everyone to chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The first result will be that the heart is cleansed. Cheto Dharpana Marjana. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam confirms, Srinvita Swakatha Krishna Punya Savana Kirtanaha Kriyanto Stohi Abhajani Vidnoti Riti Satam. Translation. Sri Krishna is the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, the Super Soul, in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee, who relishes his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So this Cheto Dharpana Marjana, this is such an integral part of the cleansing process that allows the heart to be a nice seating place for Krishna to be more and more activated. This is a simple process. The devotee therefore has to cleanse his heart just as the Lord cleansed the Gandhija temple. In this way, one can be pacified and enriched in devotional service. If the heart is filled with straw, grains of sand and weeds, or dust in other words, anyabilasa, purna, one cannot enthrone the Supreme Personality of Godhead there. The heart must be cleansed of all material motives. Even see a, you know, calligraphic extent, example of someone, you know, inviting you to come somewhere, and then somehow you come, a little early, you come and check it out, and you realize, I'm not going to stay here. I'm not going to be here. And you just make your exit. That's right. So sometimes we're doing things that's calling Krishna, but then Krishna will notice. They don't really want me. They're not really ready for me. I'm not going to be so active in this place. All these activities are against the natural growth of spontaneous love of God here. As soon as they are present within the heart should be understood to be unclean and therefore unfit when these unnecessary things are there. Then, Krishnadas Kaviraj goes, I mean, Prabhupada explains in this section. The demons are always envious of the Lord and therefore most mischievous. By his practical example, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has shown us that all the grains of sand must be picked up thoroughly and thrown outside. Any unwanted things are still there, they can spark something else, they can accumulate. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also cleansed the outside of the temple, bringing that the grain, the sand would again come within. Now we come down to the subtler things. Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explains that even though one may become free from the desire for fruitive activity, sometimes the subtle desires for fruitive activities comes into being within the heart. One often thinks of conducting business to improve devotional activity. However, the contamination may be so strong, it may later develop into misunderstanding. Now, there are certain particular things that is explained that are the weeds or the subtle things that have to be addressed. So we want to spend the last part of the lecture just looking at these things before we take questions. Okay, the first one is mentioned is called Kuti Nati. This is the subtle cleaning. It has to be done in order for Krishna or Jagannath, in this case, Baladev Subhadra, really to come to know that they're welcome and to situate themselves and to give themselves in full. So this is the first thing devotee has to be careful about when it comes to the subtle things. The kuti nati is fault finding. So when we are serious about the devotional the process, we have to weed out or take out the straws, the dirt, the sand of fault finding. So we may have done the growth screening. We may be following the four rules and regulations. We may be engaged in some services. Maybe doing so many different things. But if this fault finding is there, then there'll be big obstacles in really being able to have Krishna active and reciprocate with Krishna's presence. So that's the first category. It's called Kuti Nati. So if we go searching, we must go love finding, service finding. We must go anticipation for ways we can personally as well as encourage others to glorify Krishna. So this should be the kind of searching and the finding that we should experience. Not the fault finding where we literally want to see someone else's issue or we want to find something that someone else is about or seemingly about, so that we can somehow feel better about ourselves. that we can sort of bring down someone else's situation. It helps us to feel more shakti, more potency ourselves. No, we are not like the materialists, where we base our strength on somebody else's weakness, or we're eager to explore the weakness of someone else so that we can exploit it. But we are interested in growing, advancing, serving, and trying to encourage and stimulate as many people as we can in the process. We're interested in going back home and trying to go with and bring as many people as possible. Not the opposite. We're just out for ourselves. So, Kunti Nati is first must be avoided. Second is called Pratishtasya. Second, wheat, cleaning, anartha, that's subtle, has to be removed. This Pratishtasya is the desire for name, fame, and high position. Many people get distracted, they deviate, or they fall. Even though they're in the confines of the devotional communities, engaged in the devotional process, but if they're doing it, in the back of their mind, they are so much hungry for fame. They so much want a high position. So what can happen is that even they may get that position, but that position will be to their demise. That position will just expose them faster and will move them farther away from the goal and then toward the goal. Even though they're doing something, become a high achiever, but that achievement is still so much based on the idea that they really want a position, or they want to they're eager people to see how wonderful that they are. They're really more or less doing it for the ego. And so ego means mahatattva, or false ego, it means it's that. So instead of being free from the mahatattva, free from the three most mature nature, they have put a thicker covering on themselves, and therefore they miss the real ecstasy of devotion. They miss the real nectar of devotion. Pratishtasya Kuti Nati. Next is called Jiva Himsa. And this is envy of other living entities. Or Matsuya. This says one of the enemies of the mind. Matsuya. Or Jiva Himsa is right here. Enviousness, envy, that one of the enemies that's there to jump and to defeat or knock out the mind from being able to focus on Krishna. Savaya mana padala Krishna, of gauging the mind in such a way that the devotional activities will be more and more stimulated and activated in the consciousness. So, we were discussing in a whole lecture the other day about enviousness. Whenever there's some enviousness, some signs of it, you should see this as symptoms of our ultimate disease with Krishna. And the way we can judge it quickly is when something wonderful is happening for someone else, something beautiful is going on, some achievement, some success, some honor. Do we feel excited by that? Happy that the other person is receiving that? Or do we feel disturbed, disgusted, disappointed, sad, etc.? If you're in any of those latter things, this is a sign. You don't have a lot of work in that area. Or do we even feel, unconcerned? It's also has to do with the envious disease. So, well, just their thing, whatever it is. But our position is to gradually be imbibing more Vaikuntha consciousness, where one servant of Krishna's happiness becomes the ecstasy of another, where One arrangement of Gopal experience, or Gopi's experience, is the excitement of what each person is doing, him or herself, in Krishna's service, but also the excitement of knowing and experiencing what others are doing. When they were cleaning the Gandhicha temple, the excitement was not just each devotee's own specific service, each devotee's own specific contact or observation of Lord Chaitanya, but it was also in the experience, the observation, and the understanding that so many are doing, and now this is happening based on what so many people are doing. And the anticipation of the final the results of all of those services that the Lord shall appear. So when we are having some reflections of enviousness, we realize, oh, this is totally contradictory. This is inimical to the wonderful teamship, the wonderful services, motivated unconditional services to Krishna. That is the natural position of the soul. So we see this is very unnatural in this enviousness. We look at ourselves, we take inventory. Instead of the fault finding, we go soul finding, soul searching, to see if we're still having some of that stuff. And take closer notice of what we have to do to be able to rid ourselves of these things. And then we kind of watch and see how much we are becoming freed of this. We notice, oh, now I'm having this same reflection about this person, about this person's achievement, about this involvement, but now I'm not feeling angry or jealous. I'm not feeling unconcerned, but the opposite. I'm feeling concerned, and I'm feeling genuinely happy that this person has received and not me. What's happened to this person because they are so deserving. So without that, then the environment will not be sufficiently clean, and we're not showing that we're ready for Krishna's appearance. Next is called Siddhachara. Then we have Sadachara, doing the right things and having the right adhikara, and doing things that are based on the Siddhanta. Then we have the Nisidachara, which is the opposite. Accepting things forbidden in the Shastra. So we know that certain things are to be done, certain things are to be rejected. So we accept something that is forbidden in the scriptures, even though we're doing so many other things that are proper. This is unhealthy, and is a distinct sign, a distinct feng shui, a distinct sign also. Think environmental message we're sending out. We're not ready for you. Or you come or don't come, it doesn't matter. Or your coming is an imposition. Krishna, noticing these things in our hearts, in our consciousness, and to send that message. Oh, come back later. Some lifetime. Or later in his life. Next is kama. Desire for material gain. And last is puja, hankering for popularity. These are somewhat similar to pratishtha, desire for name and fame. There's a little more distinct comma, desire for material gain. We are involved in the spiritual culture, but we have a priority of what material gain that we can get out of some situations, some connections. So again, we're associating, we're interacting, we're following the four rules and regulations, but these subtle things are not being addressed, and because of that, there's an issue, there's a problem. So, in the last 2 minutes, we take questions. Prabhupada goes on to explain in the purport after Bhaktisiddhanta has shared this with us. He says, Bhaktisiddhanta cleansed the temple with firm conviction as is evident from his using his own personal garments for cleaning it. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to see personally that the temple was thoroughly cleansed, as clean as marble. Clean marble gives a cooling effect. Devotional service means attaining peace from all disturbances caused by material contamination. In other words, it is the process by which the mind is cooled. The mind can be peaceful and thoroughly cleansed when one no longer desires anything but devotional service. Even though all dirty things may be cleansed away, sometimes subtle desires remain in the mind for impersonalism, monism, success, and the four principles of religiosity, religious activities. That is Dhamma, Adva, Karma, and Moksha. These must also be thrown out of the house, of the consciousness. All these are like spots on a clean cloth. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has wanted to cleanse all of these away. A nice cloth. It's very fresh, very clean. But then a few spots just seem to distract or spoil the whole cloth, even though most of the cloth is still clean. So the anarthas are like this, the unwanted things. They are there, even though there's a good environment, even though the other things are clean, but the inauspiciousness from those spots stands out. Everyone who spreads the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts a similar responsibility. The Lord was personally chastising, practicing, praising individuals in the course of the cleaning. And those who are engaged as acharyas must learn from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu how to train devotees by personal example. The Lord was very pleased with this. Who could clean the temple by taking out undesirable things accumulated within? And then we end with, this is called anartha nivritti, cleansing the heart of all unwanted things. Thus the cleansing of the Gandhija temple was conducted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to let us know how the heart should be cleansed and soothed to receive Lord Krishna and enable him to sit within the heart without disturbance. We know Krishna is definitely already there in the heart, but he's in the heart with disturbance, because all the things that's coming through our consciousness and in our life that is not of purity, then that is part of the disturbance. And Krishna never leaves us, but if there's too much disturbance, it will seem as if he is gone. Some people, their life is such that there is like no God in their life. Krishna is there, but he may seem as if he is in fact gone. So we stop there, and we'll see if there's any questions. Yes. So just summary. So as we prepare for festivals, as we prepare this our day-to-day cleaning, that we want to do this in the mood of this Gandhija cleansing that took place. The Lord Jagannath, before coming, before the Rath Yatra, then he is invited to the Gandhija temple. And the devotees make full arrangements to receive him. So our consciousness should be in that spirit, that we want to make such arrangements to allow the Lord to feel welcome, or allow sadhus to feel welcome. That we want to do things in such a way that when someone comes, that they genuinely feel that their existence is being honored. This is to be the natural mood of the Vaishnava. Or in a more extensive sense, we want to do things in that mood of Prabhupada is coming, that Prabhupada will be pleased by what he notices, what he observes. And as it says here, our Lord Caitanya cleaned the inside, he cleaned the gross, cleaned the subtle, he cleaned the outside, and then he cleaned the road to the facility. So as we are doing our devotion, we realize it's not just in our temple, not just in our house, but it's the whole environmental situations, conditions are important. Because especially when you go to some important place, you are prepared as you enter into the environment. And that's why in many situations where people are aware of that, they create a way to enhance the mind as you enter. This is also part of the science of architecture, the science of feng shui, that you create for the furbishing, you create the environment that it helps to bring about more of whatever the goal that you are arranging for people to participate in, to involve themselves in, etc. And based on the preparation, based on the environment, has a direct bearing on what the experience will in fact be. So we think about that. We do each of our services. That each thing is connected. Each situation, each ashram, each devotee is connected, which makes up the whole. And it's all for offering to the Lord. And then lastly, look at Lord Caitanya cleaning with his own cloth. And Bodhisattva explaining about the subtle things that have to be cleaned. Kunti Nati, get rid of fault finding. Nisidacharya, Patishtacharya first. Wanting high position. And like punya and karma, the desire for material gain. These things, some of the subtle stuff, they must go. Then Nisidacharya, like the opposite of Sadacharya, that you must be careful not to engage in things that are abandoned or out or considered negative by the scripture. Engaging in things that are outlawed in the scripture. And then you must be careful by jiva himsa about enviousness. That you must look. Go beyond just the distinct mood of antagonism, but also see to what degree are we enlivened by someone else's achievement or success. Where we're not enlivened and appreciative, then that is also a sign of the envious disease. So this is the Kandicha temple cleaning. As we later get ready for our Memorial Day retreat, later for Ratiyatras, as there are Ratiyatras all around the world, we want to give everyone more of the darshan of Jagannath Baladeva and Subhadra, and to realize how Krishna reciprocates and how we can all gaze upon that darshan with the Lord. Then we make the preparations, especially in our minds and dealing with the subtleties, so that it's distinctly clear that we really do want Krishna's presence. And as Krishna is sensing the degree of the reception or the welcoming, and to that degree, Krishna gives himself. Gentlemen, first question.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj, for your class. I wanted to know how to practically apply, like when we see in our lives that we're having envy of other devotees, and especially because we're thinking, well, they're doing such nice service, but why don't someone pay any attention to me, or if we're having the idea that we also want some recognition, then what do we do? Because if we don't want to keep on doing the service and just increasing the quality of it just for the distinction alone, so what can we do while doing the service, not giving it up, so we can just get rid of that tendency that's going with it?
What did you realize? If we don't change the mentality, somewhere down the line, we'll even lose the desire or lose the opportunity to serve. We don't change the desire so much from just wanting the material distinction or adoration or glorification. Then Krishna will arrange to take it fully away, because the whole process is for cleansing, development, and growth. And if that's an obstacle for us, then he will particularly arrange that we don't get notice, we don't get glorification. More and more, less and less of that, as a way to help us to work on what we're going to have to work on. But if we're not ready to deal with it, then when he takes that away, then we'll find we have no zeal. It's like that sometimes devotees that work very hard, even top leadership, sometimes we may work very hard, but part of the working is kind of a mundane competition. And then if that isn't there, then they lose the desire to continue. Or sometimes it's due to a certain kind of mundane recognition. So when that's not there, then so much of the zeal is gone. Because there's so much based, good things were happening, but there's so much based on some things that were associated with the dust or the dirt or the subtle stuff or the weeds. So we find that happening to ourselves. We should really do some mental gymnastic and realize, first, Krishna is watching and noticing everything. And even if others don't, they're Krishna. And two, we must look a little closer to see, are we really doing this for Krishna, or are we doing it for the glorification? And we find that really doing it for Krishna, then the glorification is nice, or the recognition is nice, but we're not dependent upon it. And we don't lose it when it's not there. This again is the Krishna saying, one who's dear to him is unaffected by happiness or distress. It has to do with that also. Other questions? We do find that from time to time that, you know, in our conditioned state, we're very, very conditional. And when certain conditions are not there, there's no desire to carry out our duty, do our service. And it is necessary and it is imperative that those conditions will, in fact, be taken away as our chance to be more focused on who we're really doing, what we're really doing, who we're doing it for, and what we're doing. So we can rest assured that certain conditions that we may normally feel comfortable with will, in fact, be altered as part of the growth process. Anyone else? See that sometimes with Sankirtan devotees. Sometimes devotees are very, very good. They score very high on the charts. And then, all of a sudden, we're shocked. This devotee works so hard. He was such a good devotee. We hear, you know, he's left. And now he's, you know, doing this abominable thing, that abominable thing. I wonder, how is that? Only last week, only last month, he was doing such high scoring. But to what degree was it really in the consciousness that this is literary incarnation of the Lord that I'm distributing? As I'm distributing this, I must also be reading, understanding, giving. And I give this so much based on my also appreciation of what I'm giving. And I'm giving this, and I may get recognized or not as a big distributor or as a big preacher, but it doesn't matter. But then some conditions change, and the person no longer has zeal. Or the person was doing very good, if they were a temple commander, or if they were a Sankirtan leader, and all of a sudden they're not that. And then they have no enthusiasm. Even though it's the same service, same activity, but because they're not having the title, recognition, they lose it. Anyone else? Yes. It's kind of a hard one to deal with because the mind is so conditioned to artificial support and stimulation. And the devotion, the quality of devotion really shows when the circumstances change. When you see a mature bhakti, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't ultimately matter for the person. Whether there are thousands of people you're associating with, or it's just a few, doesn't matter what part of the world he's in. Doesn't matter whether there's great honoring and recognition or not. Because the person is genuinely doing it for self-purification, for glorification and service to Krishna. Just like, take a simple example. We'll just say in parenting. So you genuinely, you know, care for your children. So even though it'll be nice, it doesn't make a big difference whether other people notice it or not. That determines whether you feed your child, you protect your child, you arrange things for your child. I mean, it'd be nice if other people also appreciate how hard you're struggling, trying to do your parenting. But it doesn't stop you. It doesn't cause you not to do because you feel, why aren't people you noticing? So you've got a nice dress you made or something you bought for your children, for your child. And so the kid came to the temple or came out to school or something, and everyone didn't notice it. And then you feel sad, you feel disturbed. You feel like not even putting on a child anymore. Not one person even said anything. No. But the fact that you enjoy being able to get something and put something nice on the child, and because of love, you did it, and there's a bond and there's a sweetness because of that. Because it's mature, it's really there. You really did it as an expression of caring. But if it was just based on just some kind of a facade or some cosmetic situation, then when the reciprocation doesn't come as you expect it, then there's a big problem.
Yes. When this situation happens where a devotee who is attached to the distinction or adoration that comes with whatever position they have, Krishna begins to help this particular devotee by taking away that distinction. What can devotees, other devotees, do to help prevent this particular devotee from falling down?
It's interesting because sometimes when we get smashed in those positions, it's kind of heavy, you know. Ego gets called out by circumstance or whatnot. And many times the devotee can just totally lose desire to associate or to serve, or they reject that service. They can't do it the way they want, or they can't be in charge. They reject. So we can, as devotees, all help each other by, as we have our tests, being able to pass it. And it will help someone else who's working through such. It's one of the best ways. Because it's not something that happens to somebody else, something that happens to everyone. In different ways, it happens to everyone. So as we more maturely have genuine desire to serve, realizing that we are purifying ourselves by that and making more arrangements for Krishna to be more active, then we can be more consistent in that sense. And it will help someone else to be more consistent. The fruitive actions, mamsa mentality, or as Prabhupada is saying here, moksha, desires for moksha, desires for artha, etc., kama. These, you know, these are blocks. With coming to the platform of Suda Bhakti. So we want to kind of go go searching to remove those blocks within ourselves. Anyone else? Okay, so wait. Yes.
Thank you for that class, Guruji. Very timely. I'm always working on subtle things. And I'm just reflecting on how I have so many anarthas. There's so much subtle contamination. And that it just sometimes seems so overwhelming that, you know, how will I ever, you know, get rid of all these things? You know, it just becomes almost depressing and feeling, you know, almost hopeless that if the contamination is just so, you know, deeply rooted. I'm just wondering how we can more expediently, you know, remove these things. Or what are some things that we can do?
Well, desire has huge effects. Recognition, desire, and more anticipation of the beauty and adventure that we experience, you know, as we do remove. You know, if someone is sick and they want to kind of speed up taking care of themselves, taking the proper treatment, because they're reflecting on, you know, what they can do when the health is better. And so they have these things in mind, anticipations, and he helps them to move through whatever the treatment is, you know, that they have to take. They take it with more zeal, realizing what the outcome in fact be. So we keep reminding ourselves about the outcome as we read the scripture, as we reflect on the past times in the different Shastra. And then it helps us to have more zeal. We also realize that having a material body and being in a material world is a sign that we have gross and subtle stuff that we have to deal with. Or otherwise we wouldn't be in incarcerated in a material body. But we have that, and so we're looking to see what else we have to clean. When Lord Chaitanya was with so many of the hundreds of people and cleaning the Gandhiji temple, so they realized our place is dirty, or it's not proper. And so we bring in the water, and we splash up against the ceiling, and we clean the walls, and we clean the floor. And then once all the gross was there, we realized that because it was dirty, there's also likelihood there's other things that we didn't miss. So we go back again the second time. So we do like this in our devotion. We stop the sinful activities. We follow the four rules and regulations strictly. We realize, okay, now we get the initial cleaning. And then we realize, oh, I'm chanting the Lord's name. I don't hear Krishna's flute. I don't hear the ankle bell. I don't hear Krishna talking to me. I'm not free of lust, this, that, that. So it means there's some stuff, a lot of stuff, I still have to deal with. Because my natural state, the soul is free from all of those things. There's a natural relationship with the Lord. So now I'm doing the four rules and regulations. And let me see what are these gross things that I need to deal with to be freed of. As we start doing that, have a desire, Krishna will bring forth to us greater clarity on what to work on. Iskan found the charge of his divine grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srupachi, C.C. Vaha Damodavara Kalachandi Goni Taitakana Baladev Subhadriki. Hare Krishna.
Yeah.